Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very proud to bring our play-by-play call today with my good friend, Doug Birdsong.
Bobby with four to shoot. He'll dribble. He'll drive. Get bumped. Pull up for a contested three. Bingo! And he says, shh! That's the ball game. Let the court storming begin. It's back-to-back champions of the Patriot League tournament. And now on to the big dance for the Bucknell Bison.
And the outstanding Doug Birdsong is going to be exactly where he deserves to be. Courtside at the NCAA tournament next week. That's where Doug deserves to be. Congrats, Doug. Congrats to Bucknell. We'll talk to Nathan Davis in the next half hour. Looking forward to that very much. I would hope that we are talking to a relaxed coach who right now can't do anything about anybody else except wait and see what happens. It's a waiting game that has an absolute ending, and the absolute ending happens to be you're going. You don't have to worry about whether you're going or not. You're in. You are in.
Send him a congrats text after the game last night. I figured I'll get something from him this morning. I checked my timeline. It got me about 10 after 1 this morning. So he had a chance
He had a chance to relax.
And actually, he added to his Facebook profile page a great photo of himself and his kids and the better half with the Patriot League trophy, which was very, very sweet.
Oh, very nice. Well, you know, when you're in a situation like they are in, where it's a one-bid league, the bottom line is that he put together a non-conference schedule that was tough because he needed to have his team locked in through tough competition to then play the league schedule. They played the league schedule for the right to win the number one overall seed in the tournament, which gave them home games. And more so than just home games, you're doing everything you can knowing in the position that he is in that it's a three-game playoff to get to the NCAA tournament because it's a one-bid league. When Purdue played Michigan on Sunday at Madison Square Garden, both teams were in. It just mattered as to which one got the automatic bid and which one's in the at-large pool. Both teams knew they were in. Michigan State lost to Michigan on Saturday. Michigan State knew it was in. But for Bucknell, they could not afford a single stumble. They had to be perfect in the three games in the past week, and they were. So don't ever take that part for granted. Don't ever take for granted, they're the number one seed. Oh, they're great. Oh, they're a senior team. Look, you can have off nights. You can have off nights. I mean, Notre Dame's going to play Duke tonight, for example. You know, there's been a lot of talk about, well, look at, you know, Notre Dame's got Bonzi Colson back, and Bonzi Colson, oh, well, they've got Bonzi Colson. Bonzi Colson was in the lineup when they lost to Ball State. But it didn't hurt them because it happened in December. Bonzi Colson was in the lineup when they lost to Georgia Tech. So everybody can stumble. You know, Penn State lost to Rider, as we know. You know, Wofford beat North Carolina. I mean, we can go on and on with a whole bunch of these. So anybody can beat anyone. If you don't have the right combo on a particular night, you don't have everything going for you, you can lose. So Bucknell, don't ever take it for granted what they've done here. Not for a second. Because when you get yourself into a three-game playoff, to get to the NCAA tournament, you succeed, you have accomplished a lot.
I got to thinking in one of the conversations that you had with Coach Davis a few weeks back, and we were talking about some of the individual play from the stars. Sure, you get Nana Fallon gets a lot of attention, Zach Thomas as well, but it was great when you were talking about Stephen Brown. I mean, look what he's done alone in the Patriot League tournament. 64 points, 13 assists, 5 steals, and only committed 2 turnovers. And I talked about Coach Davis has talked about just how valuable Stephen Brown is, and sure enough, he gets tournament MVP. But I liked how you took it one further. There's so many D1 programs where you could insert Stephen Brown into their program and it'd be an automatic improvement. Very high praise for the player, and it says, it just says how much of a great program that Bucknell is and the attention that it's getting from across the country.
I think I've mentioned that a few weeks ago, that Stephen Brown would go to any Power 5 program, he would make them better right away. Now, he may have to play a little differently than maybe he plays at Bucknell, but he'd make them better. Because, I mean, let's face it, he'd have some big-time options around him. Nana Fallon, Zach Thomas, they're all high-level players. They play big league games. That's what they do.
Hung around a lot longer against North Carolina than I think a lot of people thought they would. And let's face it, they should have beat Maryland at Maryland.
Yeah, should have beat Maryland at Maryland. That's right. They should have. And this is a great accomplishment. And it'll be fun to see who they're matched up against. Okay. So, that part will be interesting on Sunday. Once they get they'll come up as one of the 68 right away in the first 10 minutes. For Penn State, we're going to have to see, obviously. That's the difference. Penn State now is to play the at-large waiting game. And I think, let's face it, everybody we've had on have all said the same thing. That, hey, look, that they don't think Penn State's in. All right, well, I'm still going to sit there and watch just to make sure. And then we'll go from there. And we'll go from there. So I just what Bucknell's accomplished is great, and while we're sitting here waiting to see what happens with Penn State, let's be honest about it. And I said this back in December, and I'll reiterate it again. It is at the point now with what Patrick's done here, where Penn State is perceived as the number 2 program in the state. Villanova's first. And I say that with all due respect to Bucknell. Nathan knows what I'm talking about. Let's face it. Nathan plays a great schedule. Nathan plays against excellent competition in the Patriot. But look, you're not on a regular basis having to go to Michigan State, having to go to Ohio State, having to go to Purdue. I mean, that's a grind under itself. I mean, you've got to play at a very high level all the time. That's what one of the points I made about Penn State, and I was talking about, I've been on 3 different shows this week, and that's one of the points I made. I said, look, everyone feels that Penn State's schedule was backloaded. All right. And it was indeed backloaded. And they went 8-5 against that part of it. They went 8-5 against that part. I mean, that's the, that's where you need to play your best basketball. They played their best basketball. Now, is it enough? Well, all the experts are telling you it's not enough. All right. And then we'll see what happens in the offseason. And something Nathan doesn't have to deal with is a guy saying, I think I'll test the NBA draft waters. But as I said, somebody called the show the other day. And they said, what about Tony Carr in the NBA draft? I said, my man, I said, think about what you just said. You just asked about a Penn State basketball player testing the NBA draft waters early. I said, now that's progress. That's progress, my man. And then we'll see what happens when he does. You know, I think Tony Carr should test it. I really do. And the reason I do is that he should find out. He may find out great stuff, and it makes the decision for him easy. He may find out you got to work on A, B, C, and D. We think you should go back to school. And he should not listen to Entourage. Tony needs to listen to what the NBA people tell him. Listen to the blunt evaluation, pro and con. Don't listen to Entourage. It's the worst thing you can do. He owes it to himself to do that because, I mean, I've already had enough indications from other people that if he were to come back and continue on the path he's on, obviously, that he could really lock himself in as a first-round pick next year. Some people have him 29, others, which is the end of the first round. Others have him 42. Now, by going to these evaluations, he can find out what's real. The thing, you know, that's how far the program's going. Like, hey, you know, we have a guy thinking about leaving early. Now, remember, Taylor Battle did this.
That's the name I was thinking of. Probably the last person that would have, you know, undergrad and draft in a Penn State basketball conversation. I was thinking probably either him or...
He did. Yeah, he
Calvin
did.
Calvin Booth.
He tested. No, Calvin did not. But Taylor Battle did test it out. He went and he worked out for the Blazers, the Bulls, and I think it was the Dallas Mavericks he worked out. And they gave him a blunt evaluation about what he should do, and essentially told him, hey, look, we think you ought to go back, and he did. And he turned in a spectacular senior season. Now, did it help him in the NBA? No, he didn't get to the NBA. He played over in Europe. In fact, he just recently retired. But he still did it and went through the process. So that, I mean, the process is important. And again, don't hire an agent. Don't do that. Go through the evaluation so that you, as the player, have all your options open. One thing that, what do the pros do? They put you at the highest level and you make money. But I'll tell you what you also find out. It is a business. It's interesting, all the people that we have on the show that are pros, and we've had a lot of people on the show that are pros, and what do all of them say to us on the show every single time when the topic is brought up? Man, it's a business up here. And you can tell that part of it saps away some of the enjoyment. You can just tell. You can just tell it just saps some of the enjoyment out of it. That's one thing about going to college, is you can see the pure joy and the enjoyment of it.
You could definitely sense that last summer when we had Tim Frazier on the show, and it was literally within, what was it, either 24 or 48 hours after he got the news that he'd be going to Washington.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and then he comes back here, and he was in that workout before they went to the Bahamas, and Taylor Battle was here, and Jamel Cornley. And you talk to Tim, and like being back on campus, they feel alive again when they're back on campus. They love, but why do all these former players come back? Why? Why do they come back? Because they love being. I'm telling you right now, Saquon Barkley, he's going to be around here forever because he loves being on campus, loves being around the Penn State football program, the building, James Franklin, everybody. Any bye week that Penn State's playing, I'm telling you, Saquon Barkley is showing up. I'd be shocked if he didn't. I mean, look, Kajana's here all the time. OJ McDuffie's here all the time. I'm going to give you a long list of people that come back over and over and over again because they love coming back here. This place means something to them. And for most of them, while it didn't earn them money, they did that in the pro level, this is where they had the most fun, the most enjoyment playing. It's amazing what that uniform does to bring so many people from so many backgrounds together. Isn't it? Amazing. Come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Nathan Davis in just a few minutes. Looking forward to that. As Bucknell wins its way convincingly into the NCAA tournament with their sterling performance last night at Soika. And we'll now find out where they're seated and where they're going. But they just know they're going someplace next week, and that's going to be fun to watch. I can't wait to watch them next week. They're going to be a very dangerous team because of the veteran play and the fact they've got a point guard that controls tempo. Scores today. Let's get everybody up to date on that, on the NCAA front today, and get everybody rolling with that. Several games already been played this afternoon, and they are finals. So, let's see. Virginia beat Louisville, no problem. 75-58. Easy win there. Also, Xavier beat St. John's 88-60. Georgia leads Missouri 33-24 at the half. Kansas leads Oklahoma State at the half 43-42. Oklahoma State matches up well with Kansas. Nevada leads UNLV 53-49. Under 13 to play in the game. 13 to go in the game. Arizona leads Colorado 44-39. Memphis, with under 2 minutes to play, leads South Florida 77-71. Providence, with 2 minutes to play, leads Creighton 56-54. And Clemson, with 47 seconds to play, is leading Boston College 83-75. Now, what you're finding here is that teams that played yesterday against those who have not played yet in the tournament, when you win, you get automatic momentum. So, for example, Penn State beat Northwestern. Well, then they faced Ohio State with a double bye on Friday. I really was very, for a couple reasons, I thought the matchup with Ohio State, even without Mike Watkins, was in Penn State's favor. And number two, Penn State had momentum winning the night before against a team that hadn't played yet. Now, that goes away once you get, when Penn State got to the semifinal, Purdue won the night before, as did Penn State. So Penn State had momentum, so did Purdue. But the teams that are playing for the first time in the tournament, they get a bye or a double bye, which you're fighting to get anyway. You do have to face a team that won the night before and feels good about itself. And that's what you're finding here today. Which is no surprise. Marquette, Villanova tonight. Notre Dame, Duke tonight. Texas Tech tonight. Baylor, West Virginia tonight. North Carolina, Miami coming up tonight. Should be a good night of hoops. And all the Bucknell fans can just kick back and relax and enjoy. You know you're in. That's big. So, and for Penn State, I mean, again, I was going through this the other day, and this will not enhance Penn State's standing or anything like that, but there's certain questions you have to ask. I know that early in the season, Oklahoma won big games, and the full season does need to be looked at, but wow, have they been anything but an NCAA tournament team for 6 weeks now? Arizona State, people say they're in. They've been 8-11 since December 30th. That's an NCAA tournament team? Really? And again, same thing. They got as high as third in the country back in December. We're told the Pac-12's down. They went 8-11. Huh? We're told that in the Big 12, awesome conference, really deep. But we're also been told that isn't this one of the weaker Kansas teams we've seen in years? We've said, heard that over and over again. It's one of the weaker Kansas teams we've seen. They won the conference. So even a weaker Kansas team is still better than the rest of the group.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The handshake line of Xavier and St. John's was rather eventful today. And now, according to Dana O'Neill, and Dick Girardi, Brendan Quinn, Dana O'Neill, and I had dinner on Saturday night. Dana's tweeted out, Big East is now checking security footage at Madison Square Garden to see if the St. John's players tried to enter the Xavier locker room. Yeah, that's exciting. Yeah. Tight quarters down there at the Garden. Well, I would hope that at least on this particular day, the coach I am talking to is relaxed, and that is Nathan Davis. Congratulations on a great run by your team in getting to the NCAA tournament.
Thank you. The guys certainly played very well, and for me, this is the three best days of the year now. I get to sit back, and there's no one to watch play. Just sit back and smile and watch your name go across as you wait to see who you go play next.
That is terrific. I'm really glad you get a chance to enjoy that. Stephen Brown went through, I think, the entire tournament and had just two turnovers. Nathan, what kind of price can you put on that as a coach?
Well, especially when you consider as much as we have the ball in his hands, it's just... it's remarkable. He's obviously, you talk about the scoring and the defense and the taking care of the ball. He's playing at a very, very high level. Was named tournament MVP, as he should have been. I don't think there was much question about that.
All right, Nate Sestina. We've talked about various players. You brought him up a few times on the show. What did it mean to have that kind of performance from him last night?
Well, the thing that was great about it is that he played with so much confidence. I don't know how often you see coaches telling guys to shoot the ball more, and our entire staff is always on him to shoot the ball more when he's open and stop passing up shots, and he was just so aggressive. I hope that coming out of that now, he has more confidence in himself and won't defer as much. But he's obviously in a tougher position than a lot of guys. He's really talented and a really good player, but when you're playing behind Nana Fallon and Zach Thomas, there's only so much opportunity you're going to get, no matter how good you are at this point.
Right,
unless you're a professional. And he's done everything we've asked of him. It was great to see him. He really changed the game for us last night. It wasn't just the scoring. It was I thought we were really stagnant against them offensively early with the way they were guarding us. And he got in there and got the ball moving and really, really worked hard to get other people open. And that kind of got our run going.
You talked about the run and what. And by the way, Tom Izzo was telling Miles Bridges to shoot more. I'm like, no, not before the Penn State game. Come on, man. Don't do that, Tom. No, let's let him be passive. During the run last night, and when the run finally came to an end, you'd built a cushion. What did that do for everyone's confidence on the bench and on the floor that you'd built a cushion even though you knew you still had work to do?
I think, obviously, whenever you can go in a halftime up double figures, that's a good thing, obviously. I say it all the time. It's hard to win a college basketball game by 8 points, much less 15 or 30, whatever we did last night. They're going up 15 at the half. We were in a good position, but I thought, got to give our guys a lot of credit because they kept their foot on the gas and they never let them really get back in the game, which made it even better.
When people talk about Bucknell, they'll talk about your offense, which has been outstanding all season long. I mean, your offense is adjusted efficiency is tremendous. But I think what a lot of people may not realize now is that within the Patriot, you're number one in adjusted defensive efficiency. What did that improvement mean to making you a better team?
Well, I think what it did was I think that was a big thing. There were times early in the year where we were good at times. We just wouldn't do it consistently enough. And I really thought after we lost at home to Boston U, when we were really not good defensively at all, very inconsistent, weren't working together, we took it up a notch. And I thought that allowed us to sustain. You know, you're never going to make all your shots. And there's going to be times where you have droughts. But if you can defend, that's always going to give you a chance to play through those times. games, and I thought that the way we defended, and even last night with the way the game started, where we weren't making shots.
Right.
And we were missing a bunch of layups, but we were still right there, but it was because we were doing a great job defensively.
So now the next step is going to be, obviously, to the tournament. You'll find out on Sunday night, you know, where you're playing and what the matchup happens to be. When you're in a position like you're in, where you're essentially in a three-game playoff to get to the NCAAs, what does that do to sharpen a team mentally to go through a three-game playoff like that?
Well, I think the big thing is, and you work on it all year, and you're trying to play every game like it's the most important, and you're preaching that. And I think we do a pretty good job of that as a group, but it's just a different intensity when it's tournament time. And there's a different sort of focus. There's a different type of pressure. The spotlight's on you much more nationally and even locally in a lot of ways when that's going on. And learning how to deal with that and still perform, I think, is something you don't really get until you actually have to do it.
The schedule. You played at Arkansas, tough game. You played at North Carolina, gave them all they could handle. Maryland, you had a real shot to win. And people, I think, forget. Let's see, you beat Ball State along the way, which, by the way, beat Notre Dame. And you're one of the few teams to beat Vermont this season. What did that non-conference do to make sure you were ready to play the Patriot?
Well, I think what it did was it like you go back to what I was talking about, like playing the way you got to play every game and take everyone seriously. In our non-conference, if we didn't, we were going to get not just beat, we were going to get drilled. And so I think it started to put that in our mind of how we had to come out mentally prepared to perform. Something that I think people forget a lot is for most of our non-conference schedule, we were playing without Kimball McKenzie or Avi Toomer. If they were out there, they were really limited. And it gave some other guys the opportunity to play against really quality competition. And improve and gain some confidence, and I think that's paid off here in the last few weeks with our depth, guys stepping up, making plays, and go right down the list of everyone has done something in the last few games that we really need to help win. And had we not played those teams that were really going to challenge us and really push us to be better, to play more consistently, I don't think at the end of the year we would be playing like we were right now.
When McKenzie and Toomer did get back in, what did that do for your floor balance?
Well, I think there's a couple things, and there's just no substitute for experience. And you combine that when you have Stephen Brown and Nana Fallon and Zach Thomas and those two guys with Kimball McKenzie and Avi Toomer, they played a lot for us last year, and they played big minutes, especially the second half of the year. And so there's just an inherent trust that's developed between those five guys on the floor together. So I thought that the ball immediately started to move better. And it's not a knock on the other guys. They just hadn't had the opportunities and been through the same things that those guys had been together. So there was more of a trust. Secondly, I think from a defensive standpoint, those are two of our probably three better wing defenders or even perimeter defenders. So it we improved in that aspect, too. We were more physical. We were able to move our feet a little bit better, able to deal better things with ball screens. And then, like I said, they've been through it before, so there's just a certain confidence level that they have in their abilities and what they're capable of doing.
As an X factor at both ends of the floor, what is the development of Zach Thomas meant to where you are right now?
It's huge. I mean, when we 3 years ago when we first came in, he was really a scorer. If he wasn't really scoring or helping us offensively, he didn't give us a whole lot. And then I told him at halftime last night, I don't think he'd scored at halftime, but he had 8 rebounds. His guy hadn't scored. He was flying around, and he was playing at a player of the year type level without scoring. And if you're going to be that type of player, that's the type of stuff you have to do. You can't be one-dimensional. You can't be a player of the year if you're only going to be a good scorer. You got to be able to get other guys the ball. You got to be able to rebound. You got to be able to defend your position. And he developed himself into the point where he does all that at a very high level.
The other part, too, and I mentioned how many free throw, where he'd be in scoring a couple weeks ago, about where he'd be in scoring in the Patriot just on free throws alone. Nathan, he's fifth in the nation in fouls drawn per 40 minutes. I mean,
yeah.
There are thousands of basketball players playing Division I basketball, like 4,500 of them. He's fifth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know there's a lot of skill, but is there a knack to what he does that just opens that door for him? I mean, I know he's a player that, look, when they sit down to do the scouting report, they're going to talk about, look, we got to stop this guy. So I got that part. But what is it? You see him all the time. Why?
I wish I had a great answer for you. What he does is he does a great job of getting sort of a half step by people. He understands angles as he gets to the rim so that he can get his body between the defender and the ball. So they've got to go through him to get it. He's got a great way of kind of lifting the ball up to shoot it in the lane where he draws contact. I wish you could teach it to everybody, but I haven't figured that one out yet. But the thing that goes overlooked, when you draw as many fouls as he does, not only does he get himself to the line earlier, gets everybody else to the free throw line earlier.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because what happens, suddenly you're in the one-and-one.
Right.
He gets everybody else there earlier, too. But he's also, Mike Watkins here at Penn State is sixth in the nation in defensive rebound percentage. Zach is 26th. Like, one thing's natural ability, but what is it about positioning that you see with him that makes him a superior rebounder, and how much is he helped by Nana Fowlin being there, too?
Well, I think certainly Nana helps because he can take guys out. But Zach, he does a great job of tracking the ball out of his area. There's some guys that rebound really well if it comes generally near him. He can go from one side of the floor to the other and get it at a high point. I mean, he's much more athletic, I think, than he gets credit for at times. And he's much stronger than people realize. He's one of the strong. He's probably the strongest guy on the team right now. He really worked in the weight room to improve in that area. And so he can now, again, he can go through contact. He can fight guys off to get the ball. And he's, like I said, he's a better athlete than you realize. So he's rebounding it above the rim most of the times, too.
All right, so now we have a full body of regular season work and a full body of conference postseason work to ask this question. What is your team's basketball IQ right now before selection?
I think it's pretty high. I'm very happy with the way we're playing. I think that, and honestly, as a coaching staff, we've started to give them more responsibility to make some calls and things on themselves. I really like the way they're communicating at both ends. I think they're taking care of a lot of issues before we get the timeouts that we need to correct, and even in halftime. And so I think we've really developed nicely in that area.
You and I both know that in the tournament, timeouts are longer. And also that first timeout, for example, in the first half is treated like the first timeout of the second half. It ends up being a longer timeout. They have to sell commercials to make up for the $716 million rights fee. Okay? But
right.
What does that do for your coaching? And do you shorten the bench a bit because you have more, quote, built-in rest periods?
You might a little bit. You still have to deal with the foul situations and things like that. Like you said, those timeouts are so long, so if you're going to sit someone for 4 minutes, all of a sudden they might sit for 10 or 12
right,
minutes
exactly.
without getting
yeah.
any game time. So it certainly is different. But at the same time, there's an energy in the building. So I think, especially early in the game, guys get a little winded quicker. It takes some time to get that second wind back. So it's one of those things you just kind of got to go on field. Hopefully we won't have any foul issues, and so that won't be something that plays into it.
Here's the next part. It'll be the second straight year you've gone back. And so all of you have been there before. And, of course, they've been there before that. There's the open practice. There's the press conference. There's the request for tickets and things like that. How much does it help that everybody has been around the block and already knows how to handle it? And does that make – I know the opponent will make it difficult, but in terms of the environment, is it now easier because you know what to expect?
I think so. I think a little bit. I think that, obviously, again, experience, there's no substitute for it. Having been through it, knowing what the travel is going to be like, what your practices are going to be like, what the arena is going to be like, the different requirements of you, I think certainly all of that, having done it before, will hopefully allow our guys to focus in on the game. And again, I thought last year we did a great job of that, but it allows you to kind of focus on the game. And to be honest, I think one of the big things that you realize after you've been there before and helped us in the last few games is that you know what you're going to miss if you don't win this tournament.
Right, exactly, yes.
You kind of always dream of it, but you don't really know how cool it is until you've been there. And so I think right. there's a added sense of urgency to those guys going, you know what, I'm nothing against like the NIT, but I don't want to play in that. I want to play in the NCAA tournament. We
exactly.
got to get it going here.
Exactly right, exactly right. Final question for you, then I'll let you go so you can really relax. When you're sitting in preseason, what was a point or two that you personally ran through your mind and said, okay, I've got a question about this, and if we can solve it, we're going to be better? What was that, and how did it solve itself?
I think a couple of them. The first one would be would be I wasn't sure how well we were going to shoot the ball at times. I thought that we had some guys that could shoot, but we weren't overly as consistent as I'd like to be. And I think, again, guys put in the time to work at it. You can't just spend the time you're going to spend in practice on it. You have to take it upon yourself some to get those extra shots up outside of practice. I thought we did that. And the second thing was ball screen defense. The way the college game, just like the NBA, there's so much more ball screens now than anything else. And the reason is they're really hard to guard. And now not only do you get just one, you'll get three or four in a possession. And being able to continuously do those things right and deal with personnel and how you're guarding all those things, I thought that those were the two biggest things.
Yeah, there are a couple areas where I always tell people that when I'm watching or broadcasting a game where I can see inexperience. And one of them is inexperience really shows up on ball screen defense.
No doubt about it. No doubt about
Thank
it.
Thank you.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to...
There's just a certain there's a thing. It's like I said, trust a lot, but there's a whole lot of people. It's not just the guy guarding the ball on the screen or they're involved in the ball screen. Everyone's got to do their job and trust each other, and so there's got to be a lot of communication, and it's just repetition.
Well, I want you to relax because you've earned it. Your team's earned it. I thoroughly enjoy the moment of seeing your name up on the board on Sunday night. Thoroughly enjoy seeing where the matchup's going to be and where you're going to go because you earned it. And you've always been great for us every step of the way, and we appreciate it more than you know.
Well, thank you very much.
Nathan Davis, head coach of NCAA-bound Bucknell. Sunday night, in the first 10 minutes, they'll reveal all 68 names. Everyone listening right now is assured of the fact that when they come up on TBS, the name will be there. We'll come up back and wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
That's the ball game! Let the court storming begin! It's back-to-back champions of the Patriot League tournament. And now on to the big dance for the Bucknell Bison.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right. Really enjoy talking to Nathan Davis. Always do. As a matter of fact, I think he's intelligent, gives great perspective. And he's fun to talk to. He has great personality. He's not, you know, he's. You'll always kid around and poke a little fun here and there. I think he's just been great here at Bucknell. It's been great for me to deal with, just like Joe Susan. I'm very lucky with the people I get to deal with on a regular basis. And they all seem more relaxed since the suit went to digital media.
Yeah, right, ironically enough. They'll be talking to Coach Susan before we know it. Spring football around the corner, too.
Yeah. Spring football is getting close. But we've got this basketball thing to solve first.
We do.
Penn State will be playing next week. It's just a question of what tournament they're playing in. I think a lot of people are guessing it's the NIT, but you know what? The NIT is like playing in any bowl game, really. The extra practice is going to, because, you know, Bucknell is, what, 82? 80, I think Bucknell is 80 in experience. Penn State, now I know they're making the turn on experience here, but Penn State's 243 out of 351 in experience. So, I mean, something like this, which is also something they've never been through before, a national postseason tournament, it's going to give them the additional practice time, albeit, you know, look, it's going to be short, sweet, scripted, but it's going to give them extra practice time and evaluation time, and it's also going to put them back in a one-and-done situation, which mentally, especially if you have success with it, like they just had at Madison Square Garden, means a lot. It absolutely means a lot. Now, this group of guys that have been together the last 2 years are 3-2 in those one-and-done games. You know, but now you're going to get a national tournament, and we'll see how it plays out for them. The NCAA will have its selection. Then when they're done with their selection, then the NIT will have its selection show after that. So that's how it plays out on Sunday night. I'm glad we also had a chance to talk a little bit about the money part of it. I just, every time I hear making money off the backs of, I'm like, hey, slow down a second, okay? Right? I want you to give that speech to the women's soccer team. I was talking to a student athlete at Penn State who happens to play field hockey. And she looked at me and she said, I love the football team. I said, because of them, I said, and what they do, I said, it gives us our chance. Hey, you don't think it's not appreciated by the other student athletes on campus when they see that stadium filled up, when they see the games on TV? They know it's helping them. Okay? I know that, you know, I mean, it's odd on a show like this to quote Rush Limbaugh. He's a polarizing figure to many. But he always refers to it as the drive-by media. In other words, they just come in, pick up bits and tidbits on the story, and then think they know it all, and they don't. And this is a case where a lot of the Nationals don't.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.